This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Coming up on the second half of our show, the federal program known as DACA, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, faces a major turning point that could change the lives of nearly 900,000 young people who were brought to this country when they were just kids. We'll dive into the major deadline facing the Trump administration when it comes to DACA and how it's being felt by young people at Florida's college campuses and beyond. But first, the images keep pouring in from Hurricane Harvey over social media through the TV. It's difficult not to see the fear and angst in the faces of those displaced by flooding in Texas and now further north as Harvey makes a second landfall. Current estimates peg the cost of this hurricane at $35 billion or more. With only 20% of the homes in this hurricane's path covered by flood insurance, the individual needs may be even greater than Hurricane Katrina, where 50% of homes had that insurance. The human desire to help out from afar or just down the street here in Lee County means that people will make donations of cash or goods. But the knee-jerk reaction to donate is tempered for some who wonder if their donation is going to the right place. Reports of mismanagement of funds by big international nonprofits come to mind. Will your $25 go to a CEO's salary? But there are still people who need help. So how do you get it to them? Here to talk us through the best and most effective ways to help is Greg Luberke. He's the Director of Communication for the Gulf Coast Community Foundation. Greg, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Julie. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and I hope that I'm able to share some ideas and tips that can help your listeners feel informed and confident about their charitable giving.
Yeah, feeling confident about it is really important. We are talking about giving in the wake of a disaster. Are you in a quandary over how to help? Give us a call with your story at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Greg, can you first tell me what exactly the Gulf Coast Community Foundation is?
Sure. We are a public charity that was created by people in our region to improve the quality of life in our region. Our mission at Gulf Coast is, together with our donors, we transform our region through bold and proactive philanthropy. By a public charity, we're supported by donations from a large swath of the community. So we're really a philanthropic resource for our community and also an organization that works to strengthen nonprofits and create initiatives that can improve the quality of life in our community. But as a charitable resource for donors who live in our region, we also help them identify how they can meet their charitable interests and goals, whether it's locally or around the country and around the world.
So according to the Center for International Disaster Information, donating money is always the best way to help people right after a disaster. Can you tell me why they say that?
Sure. I think from our perspective, what we've heard from listening to disaster relief officials on the ground in Hurricane Harvey and in past disasters, and also even our own experience here in Southwest Florida with Hurricane Charlie, is that those cash donations help those relief organizations on the ground act most nimbly and effectively. When right now, if we consider Hurricane Charlie, I was just listening yesterday to somebody in Texas who is a leader in organizing volunteer organizations that are providing disaster support, and he was very adamant in encouraging folks to make cash donations rather than send goods or self-deploy, if you will, as a volunteer. In the case of sending goods and items, unless there is a direct call for something specific from an organization on the ground, you've got the transportation costs and challenges of getting goods there, and then also the logistical issues of storing, distributing, and the like. So in the case of Texas, I saw a note this morning from the Director of Housing and Community Development in Houston, and he was saying that a lot of those goods that they needed in the immediate had, those needs had been filled, although there were some they were still looking for, but they're getting things from local communities, from the wider region, states, and country, contributing those cash donations can help the organizations that are there use it where it's needed most.
Well, you can't really donate a gallon of gas necessarily for a John boat that's going and trying to rescue people, for example.
Exactly.
So those are the certain kind of money needs that they actually need to spend it there locally. And also moving a container of donated goods can cost more than the value of the item sometimes.
Exactly.
And another thing that the International Disaster Information website points out is that if you send money to local organizations, for example, in Houston, they then would spend that money within the local economy, and that would help kind of get them up off their feet.
Yes, and one of the recommendations we've been making here at Gulf Coast Community Foundation is that individuals can direct donations to the Greater Houston Community Foundation. That's another community foundation, a colleague community foundation of ours in Houston. And what they've done is they've partnered with the city administration to administer a charitable fund that will then direct relief donations, tax-deductible relief donations, to the organizations there that need it most. And one other thought to keep in mind, I think, and this was reiterated by several disaster relief officials recently, is that immediate relief is something that is urgent and needed, and it's what we're seeing on TV and in the newspaper and hearing on the radio. But these kinds of disasters are going to last a long time. The mid-range, long-range recovery and rebuilding efforts are going to take money as well. So donations that are sent immediately may not need to be spent immediately to still have an impact on lives down the line.
Exactly. So why do you think people still want to buy goods and send them? Is it a control thing, a mistrust thing, or do they just want to make that extra little bit of effort to show that they care?
I believe it's probably that generous impulse and that tangible aspect of thinking that this is something that can help comfort or save somebody. So it's a natural inclination, but when you listen to the folks who are doing the work, sheltering, searching, those kinds of endeavors, and understanding the long-term needs there will be in those communities that have been devastated, hopefully individuals can realize that those cash donations can make a big difference.
And I've heard over the last few days a lot of skepticism from people in different parts of the world when it comes to big organizations like the Red Cross and United Way. I mean, these are agencies that have had a few scandals. A year after a devastating earthquake hit Haiti in 2010, a ProPublica investigation found that the Red Cross had raised nearly $500 million and only six homes had been built. And then back in the early 90s, the leader of the United Way was jailed for scamming the organization out of $1 million. I mean, those are two big players, so by virtue of size, they're going to have bigger scandals. But they still do a lot of good. Are people right to feel a bit of distrust?
Well, I think that charitable giving is a very personal decision, so people do have to process the information available to them and their interests in helping others, their motivations and goals, to come up with the right decision, the right recipient of a donation for them. What I would suggest is that people do a few things. One is research organizations, get to know them if you can through a resource like GuideStar.org. That's the world's largest storage house of data and information on nonprofits. But look at things like the organization's mission, the impact that the organization has made and reported, and what their objectives are, and decide if that matches with your own intent and interests. Just looking at simplified rating systems or maybe a so-called overhead ratio doesn't always give a full picture of the impact, and ultimately I think that's what people want from their donations, is to make a difference. It may not give the full picture and could give a skewed picture, so I do think that doing that kind of research and getting to know organizations in your local community when you can help you make those decisions. As far as large organizations, to make large change and to address major social issues, it can take a large organization to do that. So I don't think there's anything wrong with an organization being large. I think it's a matter of donors identifying what impact they want to make and then looking at organizations to see if they're making that kind of impact.
That's a good summary there. I appreciate that. So here locally, we've had some serious flooding, and that displaced a lot of people from their houses. And now the Southwest Florida Community Foundation has set up a fund for victims of our flood called the Southwest Florida Flood Relief Flood Relief Fund. Well, that's a tongue twister. And that's providing that 501c3 space for people to donate. And that money is going to go straight to the local United Way to help residents here. So, Greg Lubarecki, you're the director of communication for the Gulf Coast Community Foundation. It's got a similar name to Southwest Florida Community Foundation. Are they pretty much similar?
They serve communities in Lee County and the surrounding area, I believe, and their colleague foundation as well. So we know members of their staff there, and we respect the good work that they do. I'm glad you mentioned that fund, because that's something that I was going to mention, particularly for listeners in Lee and surrounding counties. They're a great organization that knows the nonprofits and the government agencies that are doing work right there in those affected areas that they serve. So that is, in our opinion here at Gulf Coast Community Foundation, a great conduit for charitable donations that can make a local difference. Both the Southwest Florida Community Foundation and Gulf Coast Community Foundation here have recommended that folks who want to make contributions toward victims in Texas look at the Greater Houston Community Foundation as one of the organizations, like I mentioned earlier, that is accepting donations and channeling them to where they can make a difference. So in Southwest Florida, the Southwest Florida Community Foundation is doing important work there. And similarly, Gulf Coast Community Foundation, going back about 13 years now, I think you had a program on Charlie just a couple days ago. When Hurricane Charlie hit, we were able to quickly establish a Hurricane Charlie Disaster Relief Fund and then take in those donations locally as well as from around the country and then direct them to local organizations that were doing both relief work but then longer-term recovery work.
It's kind of like an umbrella fund to then plug the holes where they need to be plugged with the people on the ground.
Yes, exactly, yes.
All right. We are talking about how to help people displaced by flooding throughout Texas and here at home. And you can become part of the conversation as well by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. There are a lot of hyper-focused, smaller ways to give, too. Things like the United States Equestrian Federation Equine Disaster Relief Fund that's helping only with horse rescues. And that group started after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita in 2005. I found about five organizations soliciting donations just to help horses. So these splintered, smaller funds, how can you know that they're doing what's right with your donation?
I would say a good source for that kind of information is the community foundation in that particular community. I know in a crisis like this, it may be more difficult to get that information, as folks like the Greater Houston Community Foundation are in the trenches, literally helping out as well as processing and accepting donations. But their website, ghcf.org, includes some different specialized organizations that will help with animal welfare, will help children, those kinds of things. But with those particularly narrowly focused organizations, really resources like GuideStar.org that I mentioned is a place to get background on the organization. Go directly to any communications materials the organization has to understand what it is that they're focused on and what they do. And then when possible, turn to the community foundation in that particular community as a resource to ask questions and learn about organizations. Community foundations work with many, many nonprofits in their communities on a daily basis, so they really get to know them intimately and know who is doing the best work in a particular area within their community or region.
And another micro charity is the GoFundMe route. I think it's a little too soon to tell if people are going to be having individual pleas for help out on the Internet, but that's one way to directly contribute. But is that advisable?
Well, again, charitable contributions are really up to the individual. We know from our work as a community foundation that groups like the Greater Houston Community Foundation really know the organizations that are working in their communities and act as conveners and catalysts to get things done. So what I can say is that contributions to vetted relief organizations that are in those communities or to a conduit like the Community Foundation there is a donation that you can be confident in.
And it feels kind of tacky to ask so soon, but what's the difference as far as it being a tax-deductible donation? I mean, when you're going with a community charitable organization, I mean, one that's already got the 501c3 and all that, that would be something that can be tax-deductible. But when you go for a personal donation to a GoFundMe, are those tax-deductible?
I'm not familiar, really, with any of the rules and regulations on something like that. We really focus our as a community foundation, we're required to make our grants to 501c3 organizations or other organizations in certain instances that are doing work that's considered with charitable intent by the IRS. So that's really where our knowledge and specialty is.
Yeah, that would be a question maybe for the tax guy. So another quick and easy way to donate that a lot of causes have campaigns for, say, text the word whatever to donate to a certain phone number. Are those very effective?
I don't know personally how effective those are, but the more that you see them used, the advance of technology really has made the ability to donate through text and other electronic means more widespread, and I think it's a good thing in that people can give quickly and hopefully efficiently through that. I know when we had our Hurricane Charlie disaster relief fund that many years ago, we did accept online donations, but you know, it was one website and you had to visit it. So we do not have something like that here where I have technical experience with those texting donations, but it does seem to be an advance that hopefully can facilitate more immediate donations.
Mm-hmm. So then when it comes to things like displaced pets, dogs, and cats, is it best to give to local chapters of larger organizations, for example, the local Humane Society, or direct donations to the local shelter?
Well, I think, again, it comes down to who has knowledge in that particular community. So the Community Foundation in the greater Houston area has identified the SPCA of Houston and the Houston Humane Society as one of the organizations, two of the organizations that can be helped. They've also identified two organizations in San Antonio, a little further away from their area as well. So I think going to a resource like that, there's a very handy list of organizations supplied by the Greater Houston Community Foundation that can help people know what they think would be the right donation. When it comes to your local community, before a disaster strikes, getting to know particular organizations and feeling comfortable and confident with them gives you an avenue to consider whether you would donate to an umbrella group or donate directly to that local organization that you may have direct experience with. I think it starts with some online research and then going directly to the organization and backing that up with resources that might be available through a community foundation or a network association of nonprofit organizations for your area.
Mm-hmm. So the community organization, for example, the one in Houston and also the one here in Southwest Florida, the Community Foundation, with our localized flooding that we've had here, sounds like they are moving. I know Southwest Florida Community Foundation said that 100% of funds that are donated for this disaster relief would go right to the victims of the natural disaster. Is that always the case where 100% goes straight on through, or does the Community Foundation end up using a percentage of what comes in?
It can depend, I think, on the individual foundation and their particular policies and transaction means, as well as what the issue might be. In a case like this, it sounds like the Southwest Florida Community Foundation would be using its resources to absorb any administrative fee or credit card fee or anything like that to ensure that it can turn around and provide that money through grants to different organizations that need it. Some organizations will have a processing fee that they may request that the donor cover if the donor is willing. But one of the good things about community foundations being permanent organizations within their communities, we all administer endowed funds to improve quality of life, as well as work with current donors who may have donor advised funds and other vehicles to recommend grants from, but we can use our funds when appropriate to make something like that possible, where essentially the Community Foundation is partnering with each individual donor by helping to make their gift quick, direct, and 100%.
Mm-hmm. The only tangible item other than cash that I've heard that there is a need for is diapers. Why would that be?
Well, I believe one of the organizations that the Greater Houston Community Foundation has asked for is diapers, indeed, and I think it's just an item that may be difficult to get in the days and weeks ahead, and if there's a finite supply in a particular hospital or community or home, it's something that certainly would be needed for, you know, the comfort of the family. So when there are particular requests like that, and again, there may be conduits for doing a cash donation that can help an organization in another area get something like that, it is every disaster situation can be different with what might be a particular shortage or need, so it is useful to look at what those requests are.
And there's also a need for blood donations. Are Floridians shipping blood units to Texas? Is it worthwhile for people to donate blood here?
It is worthwhile for people to donate blood here. Here in Sarasota County, where I'm at, our local blood bank, Suncoast Blood Bank, sent blood to the Houston area, as well as Corpus Christi and one other area of Texas earlier this week, and they have indicated that they're going to need blood and platelets through the Labor Day weekend to send more supplies to Texas. So I know that's one organization in particular, SCBB, SuncoastBloodBank.org, is their website for identifying where there might be a collection point or a blood drive in Sarasota County, and I believe it may creep into northern Charlotte County. Other blood banks in southwest Florida or American Red Cross chapters that are collecting blood supplies are worth looking into as an option.
So, I mean, you know, it's easy to think about donating during a disaster as it's unfolding in the news, but what about donating before disaster strikes? Are there ways to build these good intentions into a daily or monthly routine?
There is an organization called the Center for Disaster Philanthropy, and that organization has really been doing a lot of good work on encouraging both considering long-term recovery and rebuilding as a direction for philanthropy in the case of a disaster, and also promoting the need to be prepared and have that network in place. There are a lot of good resources that I think strong communities with good preparation networks are utilizing to ensure that they have the infrastructure, communications plan, everything like that in place for when a disaster strikes. So I think researching options, perhaps through the Center for Disaster Philanthropy, or in Florida, there is a statewide branch or affiliate of a national organization called VOAD, and that's Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. So Florida VOAD would be a place to look for some information on what organizations would be worth supporting in advance of disasters or on a regular basis, as you suggested, so that they can be ready to act in a moment's notice.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now, but I really want to thank you, our guest, Greg Lubarecki, the Director of Communication for the Gulf Coast Community Foundation. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Julie. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And if you'd like more information on any of the charities or topics that we just discussed, check our Twitter feed using @WGCU. Coming up, the DACA program allows nearly 900,000 immigrants who came to this country when they were just kids to live, work, and go to school without the threat of deportation. But in a few days, the Trump administration could hand down a decision ending those protections, leaving thousands facing an uncertain future. We'll talk with a reporter and others tracking the DACA program in Florida. I'm Julie Glenn, and this is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.